Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Congresswoman Luna without Charlie Kirk. I still remember the phone call that changed my life. Hey, Anna, it's Charlie. I'd like to offer you a job as TPUSA's National Hispanic Outreach Director. The year I spent at TPUSA traveling with Charlie is where I honed my voice in the crucible of politics and ultimately forged the path that led me to Congress. I saw Charlie grow from a young man with conferences of a few hundred people to one of the most powerful men in the world, walking alongside presidents and titans.
Enormous tribute memorial yesterday at Glendale's stadium where the Cardinals play for Charlie Kirk, who, of course, was from Phoenix. Anna Paulina Luna, or I guess Anna Paulina Luna, I did not realize that's how she pronounced her name, from Florida, talking about her time growing up in Turning Point USA and eventually, of course, running for Congress, winning the seat. J.D. Vance, I mean, everybody spoke. Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Pete Hegseth, and a long parade of speakers in the, gosh, what was it, 4 hours? Five? I mean, it was very, very long and overflow capacity, and, you know, 50, 100, 200,000 people showed up. God knows how many exactly. But, of course, J.D. Vance was one of the last few speakers to take the stage.
Charlie exemplified kindness, courage, and a commitment to open debate. And he was a great debater, and we loved him for it. But Charlie loved debate not because he excelled at it, but because it was the vehicle for bringing the light of truth to dark places. And Charlie Kirk brought many truths in his life.
You know, I thought this speech by J.D. Vance was kind of interesting. Little bit of a mixed message at times. Same for Trump when he spoke. No mixed message at all for Erica Kirk. I mean, she was fantastic. But that's a very interesting observation. The idea that he loved debate not because he was good at it, but because it was a way of bringing light, truth, bringing a result to dark places. And I mean, I know it might seem to you like a throwaway line. I'm not sure that J.D. Vance has a lot of throwaway lines, but there is a sense in which people who are good at debate like it because it makes them, you know, feel good about themselves. I'm good at debate, okay? Debate is fun. Winning arguments is fun. It makes you feel smart, makes you feel powerful, makes you feel like you're better than other people. Going all the way back to when, you know, debate was actually a contest in high school. But people who are good at a thing enjoy the thing because the thing makes them feel good about being good at the thing, right? Whether it's football or fixing cars or flipping homes or winning arguments. And winning arguments has an extra special kind of temptation reward in that if you win arguments, it makes you feel like you have more of that stuff they call the truth. You know, you've got more wisdom, information, truth in, you know, the whatever bank account truth stores in. And so people who are good at debating get value out of winning debates, get value out of, you know, defeating their opponents and slicing and dicing them and proving them wrong and all of that stuff. You got to be super careful, though, for two reasons. Reason number one, and this is the one that makes people like me really nervous. And it's that you can win debates and still not have truth. You said, well, I thought the whole point of debate was to figure out the truth. Yeah, it is. But what happens more often is that the winner of the debate is not the person who's got the truth, but the winner of the debate is the person who's better at debating. You ever, I don't know, listen to somebody present an idea or two people fight each other in the way that you fight over ideas in a debate? And it's clear that one person is the better debater. More persuasive, more interesting, funnier, better examples, more poignant rhetoric. But also, they seem to be on the wrong side. You know, or maybe it's more intuitive. You feel like, man, just something in my gut tells me that that ain't right, that that position isn't the right one. Oh, sure, of course, because debating itself is a skill. And the skill is not the same as having the right side to be defending. Why do you think it is that some of the greatest attorneys win for the wrong side? Because they're great attorneys, not because their goal is the truth. Their goal is to win. The adversarial system is built on the premise that, you know, you put the two smartest people in the room and they marshal all the evidence and you go through a fair process and eventually get the truth. Well, sometimes you don't. You know, sometimes guilty people go free and innocent people go to jail, right? I mean, more often guilty people go free. Innocent people go to jail does happen, but it's pretty rare. Well, that system is flawed. And the flaw is that it tends to reward people who work the system, who play the game, who select jurors and understand the rules of evidence and have better rhetoric and ask better questions and prep witnesses better. And I mean, right? And are better at the thing of arguing. Well, it's the same with just arguing. Some people are good at arguing. Some people are good at just knowing the truth. Now, you can know the truth without being able to argue for it. Now, it's better if you can explain it. But I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but it's an important thing to understand that Charlie Kirk, as an example, could win every single debate he's in and still be wrong about everything he's saying. Now, it's harder. It's harder to win when you don't have the right answer. The truth is easy to defend, typically. Not always. I mean, sometimes it's pretty hard to defend. And so when he says this, I put it in the context of be careful, eloquent speakers. Be careful, you know, J.D. Vance. Be careful, Matt Gaetz, fantastic debater, okay? Be careful, Andrew McKay. Because just because you win the argument doesn't make you right. You got to be careful always to be self-correcting, looking for, hey, where did I get it wrong? Where might I be mistaken in spite of my great debating capabilities? So that's part one. That's part one of my cautionary note on this, you know, being good at debate makes you enjoy debate. Because, I mean, J.D. Vance said it, so, okay. Part two is you're not supposed to use reasoning as a weapon. Reasoning is not a way to vanquish your enemies or demonstrate their stupidity or expose their illogicality. I mean, it can be done that way, but that's using the gun to hurt people instead of to protect people. What debate is supposed to be there for, reason is supposed to be there for, is to bless people, to help them, to show them or yourself the right answers, and to build community, to build faith, to establish knowledge. So, I mean, I know it's a kind of a throwaway line of a sort, but Charlie Kirk, in my very limited experience of him, used reasoning sometimes the wrong way, but generally speaking was trying to use it the right way.